that song with great conviction and convincing in your heart.
Amen. Amen.
You've walked in this world for very long. You can say that.
Yeah.
Of things of this world, I've had it all. I've had all of it I want.
Amen.
Amen. What I need is more of Him.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
We can all say that. So it's good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. Good to have Brother William and his people with us.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know all their names, but it's good to have you here. I really appreciated that heartfelt prayer, mm-hmm. opening the service. You know, that kind of shows what's down in a man's heart.
Right.
So let's go ahead and let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. I really enjoyed song service. There's something about worshiping our God that's so wonderful. So
Amen.
Just really opens the way, paves the way for us this morning. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to start in Luke chapter 18. I think I read this passage of Scripture here just a few weeks ago, but really feel a little bit happy to go through this, use this Scripture again today. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. After that, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12. How many believe the Bible is God's Word?
Amen.
Amen. As Brother Bram said so many times, we could read the Bible and close it and go away, and we'd still be a blessed people.
That's right.
And if we can receive it that way,
yes,
then we'll certainly get in touch with the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray. How often? Always. Amen. Always pray, and to not faint. Must mean there's going to be conditions where it might cause one to try and want to faint or feel like they need to faint. So he's saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a good question, isn't it?
Amen.
Now let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll begin reading at verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which, no man shall see the Lord, not just on that day, but even now in our lives now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, or blackness, and darkness, and tempests, and to the sound of a trumpet, and to the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the remaining of those things that are, the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Let's bow our hearts just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to tell you that we're so happy to be in the house of God this morning, be here with those of Black Precious Faith. Lord, we've looked forward to this time together as each week comes and goes. We look forward to our time in the house of God and with your people and to your word, Lord, that you would speak to us. And so today, Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you and ask God that you would just take this time to touch every heart, every life. Lord, you are able to close the mouth of a lion. And so, Lord, you would also be able to shut my mouth and keep me from saying something that you would not be pleased with. But we ask God this morning that you will come and use us, Lord. Use every faculty we have of our speaking and hearing, Lord, that you would be able to speak to your children today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's good to be a Christian. Amen. I want to title this today, This Gospel Works. How many believe that?
Yes, we can.
This Gospel Works. I believe it works. You know, the word gospel, we talk about that. Gospel means good news.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't think of any news that would be any better than to come and be able to tell people that God has provided a way for their sins to be taken away and for them to be healed and to be able to have a blessed life here in this life. And then at the end of our road, not to have to go to the end of our days here on earth in fear. And then afterwards, to have eternal life. I can't think of any better message than that.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. And so we certainly believe the gospel message, and we believe that the gospel works. And so how many believe that?
Yes, we can.
Amen. We believe this gospel works. And so, but sometimes we look at the actions of people, and we'll wonder if they really do believe the gospel works, or maybe what it looks like that sometimes people can be so diligent with certain areas and certain things in the Word of God and certain areas of their life and totally, absolutely ignore other areas of the Word of God, other areas of their life that needs attention. And it's interesting. You've probably noticed that. If you're like me, I'm a people watcher. I watch people. I watch how they act and the things they do and what they say. And so you can see that even in the message, there could be people so diligent to certain things, but then ignore other things.
Right.
And so, but I don't think the Lord wants us to be that way. And so, how much of this gospel works?
Right.
All of it, right? But sometimes people act like some portions doesn't work.
Right.
So I'll ask you this question. How often does this gospel work?
All
it works all the time.
Yeah. Come on.
All right? And so, you know, we've said this before. God's not the problem.
Right.
It's not his word. Right? The word's not the problem. Right? But it's on our part. It's our reception or rejection or how we cope or don't cope with the word of God. And so,
come on.
You know, Jesus, when he walked up Calvary, he didn't just pay part of the price.
Right.
He didn't just, you know, go so far but not all the way. Jesus paid so much of a price. He went far enough that you and I can have everything we will ever need in this life and the life to come.
Amen.
He went all the way. In other words, he paid the price for everything that was only on the shelf in the store for you to go get.
Amen.
He paid the price for every bit of it. And so he's there. You know, if somebody gives you something, say somebody gave you a piece of property, I think that probably if you went there, you would want to make sure that you took possession of all of it. And if you knew that there was a portion of that property that somebody else was trying to hold from you and you knew it was yours, you'd fight for it.
Amen.
And yet people will let Satan take things that God has purchased for us.
That's right.
He paid a price for. And we'll just kind of be so diligent with some things, but we'll let the devil have that one for some reason. We just won't put up the fight for it. But brother, sister, he paid the price for everything.
Yes,
anything that you have need of today, mm-hmm. whatever's on your heart, whatever you're struggling with, he paid the price for every bit of that when he walked up Calvary, right. And it's there for you.
Amen.
Right? God's not going to try and hold that back from you.
Right.
So you know that if there is, and it's the devil that's doing it. And so we look at these things. And so the scripture tells us that we have not because we ask not. This
right.
is in James, the book of James. We have not because we ask not. I see that, like I said, people have got to the place where they've become comfortable with just a mediocre thing and just with part of what the Lord has paid the price for, maybe
right.
just salvation or maybe being able to just come to church. But then there's other things that they just don't want to fight for. They don't want to go and possess.
Come on.
And so the scripture tells us that we have not because we ask not.
Right.
People have stopped asking.
Yeah.
The people have got to the place. And you realize this is Laodicea, okay? The condition of Laodicea, easy living, all the things that we have right at our fingertips, the whole culture makes it to where people's not willing to really fight very hard.
That's right.
People don't want to push very hard for anything, especially this modern generation.
Right.
They don't want to pay a price and work and to do anything.
Come on.
But listen, there is a price that has to be paid for all of these things.
Right.
And Jesus paid that price for us, right? And we have to pay a price in our daily walk.
Right.
Jesus said, if you don't pick up your cross daily and follow him, right? If you want to be part of him, there's a cross that you have to bear. And as I said the other day, a cross is something you die on. So there's an element of dying that we must do every day in order to be associated with Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And so we understand those things. And so people have got to where they just quit asking, or they've become okay with certain things that God has provided, and then just okay with the fact that there's other things that they don't really possess yet.
Right.
But I believe the Lord wants us to possess all things because he paid the price for all things, for us to have all things. And so we believe that. But people have become comfortable in settling for less than what Jesus paid for. There are things that he paid for that we've yet to go get.
Right? Yeah.
Right? Body change is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? But he's paid a price for all things. You have trouble in your home, it's there.
Right?
Yeah. Right? He's got to pay the price to fix it. And so we believe that.
Yeah.
So, but then the scriptures also said, not only that people don't have because they have not because they ask not, but it also says, but then also that they ask and they ask amiss. That they may consume it upon their own lust. And so that's another thing that you see. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying the other day, that people will approach God so much for what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But hardly, just a very small portion of time, that they'll actually approach God for what he wants
right.
in their life.
Right.
And so people will just, it's all about, you know, me, what I want. But see, if a person will get into the presence of God and you get there and you stay there long enough, I believe you'll walk away and know what God's will is for your life.
Amen.
And then you know how to fight. I mean, remember where the testimony where Brother Branham would set foot on ground in a foreign country and he would step there and he'd say, I claim everyone here that you sent me here for.
Yeah.
Said, if I go, I want to go knowing that the Lord sent me because then I can claim it when I get there. But if he just goes presuming,
right.
Well, it's just, you know. So it's always good to know what the will of God is in your life.
Yeah.
Even if it comes to buying, if you want to buy a four-wheeler to go hunting in, mm-hmm. right? Look to God to give you a nod to say it's okay to get it. Just because you got the money. I've used that example before. Because my son said that to me one time. Let's just go get a Ford. I said, well, you probably could do that, but let's pray about it first. Okay. Right? And everything. Let's look to the Lord for these things.
Sure.
And so people's got to where they don't do that. And most of the time, they're so willing to ask God for something that they want. But how much time do they spend truly, truly saying, God, here it is. Just take every desire I've got out of me, and you give to me the desire for what it is you want in my life.
Amen. Come on.
Right? So we all are supposed to bear a cross, and crosses aren't easy to bear.
Come on.
You know, and I said the other day, you see nowadays, you know, people want to go, you see them going down the road and they've got a cross they're carrying, you know, right, trying to symbolize Christ. But I said, what you see is they got a wheel on it,
yeah,
to make it easier.
Sure.
And so, but God don't have any wheels on the crosses we bear. No. It's not meant to be easy.
No.
But it is meant for us to die on a portion of our will or our life to die. That means it's not easy. But if you'll do that, right? Life can always come from where death is, right? We know that. If something's going to live, that's because that there was something once before that died for it.
Right.
We understand that in the natural. So, we get into the presence of God long enough, we can understand what His will is. But because we're always asking Him for what we want, and then He doesn't give us what we want, then we get discouraged, and then we blame God and act like He doesn't answer. He always answers.
Amen.
Right? He always answers. Amen. And so, you know, I said the other day, I said, examine your cross.
Mm-hmm.
Your cross examined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that we should judge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Especially coming to communion, which we'll be having in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
To judge ourselves so that we would not be judged and not be condemned with the world. Right?
Yeah.
So, and I gave the illustration the other day that when you go into, if you're accused of something, you're in a courtroom and so forth, you know, and they'll say, were you here at this time in this place? You're like, no, I wasn't. Well, they don't go, okay, well, he wasn't. No, they cross-examine.
Right.
Yeah.
They begin to work at it. Hey, what about this? And they try to catch him. And of course, if he's truthfully, if it's true, then this cross-examination shows that what's there is right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, the scripture said our hearts, you know, we're desperately wicked, right? And who can know it? And who can know it is the Word of God, because the Word of God is what is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so if we could let the Word be applied to our lives, and we're to do this.
Sure.
It's not just the preacher's job, okay? But God wants you to take this word and judge yourself, and you should cross-examine yourself. Don't let yourself lie to yourself.
Right.
Come on.
Don't let that wicked heart that's there that you might not even know is there, who can know it,
right,
don't let that lie to you.
Right.
Cross-examine yourself. Check it with the word and cross-check it with the word until at some point you realize, I've not been honest with myself.
Yeah.
I've not been honest with God. I've not been honest with my family.
Come on.
Right?
That's good preaching.
Work it. Cross-examine.
Right.
Until you get to that place where you know that you're open before God, because the scripture tells us we are naked,
right,
and open before Him whom we have to do.
Right. Yeah.
You can't hide something from Him.
No.
Yeah.
We're just fooling ourselves if we walk each day with something there that we know should not be there.
Right. Yeah.
We're the ones that's being fooled.
Right.
Even Satan's not fooled.
Right.
Because he knows too. He's the one to put it there.
Yeah.
Right? And so, cross-examine yourself. But then, as I also said the other day, just to flip it around, examine your cross.
Yeah.
The burdens that you bear every day, mm-hmm, is that really the gospel cross, or is that something that you've put there that you want?
Right. Oh, my, that's good.
It's got to be His cross, right,
yeah,
that we die on.
Right.
Right? Every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, examine the cross and do a cross examining. Because, brother, sister, this gospel works.
Yes.
It works.
Sure.
Yeah. People might say, well, it hasn't worked for me. I told a guy one time, he said, I know that God exists because I can see him. He said he can see God in my life and he can see it in his dad's life. He said, but I've tried and I've prayed and I get nothing. And I said that scriptures, I told him, I said, scripture says, the day that you seek me with all your heart,
yeah,
that's the day you'll find me.
Amen.
And if for some reason people just not finding him,
right,
it's because there's something they're holding back.
Right.
They're not truly coming all the way.
Yeah.
Then they've not truly hung themselves on that cross.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why they don't get where they were. That's why they can't reach over and get what he's already paid for you.
Amen.
That's why they don't get it.
That's right.
Because this gospel will work.
Yeah.
So if you want to live, you've got to die.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself.
Sure. Yeah.
These are things that the church here locally probably gets tired of hearing me say that, but I'm convinced of that.
Sure.
Brother Bram said, an arrogant spirit is not of God.
Right. Amen.
Right? God is a gentleman.
That's right.
He's not going to force anything.
Right.
Right? But he knows that with his gospel truth, when it's laid out there, his children have an appetite for that, and they'll come to it.
Amen.
He doesn't have to force it on them. But they do have to fight battles to get these things,
mm-hmm,
that he's provided for. People have left off staking their claims. And so, you know, that phrase, I know that when people were here in the United States and they were moving west and they'd go out and they'd stake a claim. You know, they'd go out and find a piece of land and they could go in there and they could drive their stakes in.
Yeah.
And say, this is mine. They could go down to the local authorities or whatever and they could stake that claim and say, I'm putting my claim on this certain spot out here.
Right.
I've marked it. It's got these markers there. And it's mine, and they go. The authorities would recognize that and say, okay, this is yours now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that point in time, no one else could come in there. They could try, but it's already on record that it's been staked.
Right.
It's been marked. It's been claimed, and it belongs to a certain person. And so, you know, the Lord has given us certain property,
right,
certain thing.
Yes,
right? He's given that, but people just have stopped staking their claim. They've stopped taking and going out there and driving their stakes in the ground and marking it and saying, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine, and Satan, keep your hands off of it.
Yeah.
See, so you stake it so that your enemy knows it's yours.
Amen.
Right? You got to do something to show that these things God has given you, that you're going to fight for them. These are mine. So you drive your stakes in the ground, you mark the borders, and you say, Satan, this is mine, God gave it to me, and I'm willing to go to the authorities and fight for what I've been given.
Amen.
Amen. So people just become pushovers, because
right,
it's Laodicea,
uh-huh,
and not driving stakes in the ground and marking what it is. But we've got to mark these things so the enemy knows. You know, like somebody, I forget how it was, but you get up and go to church, so you know, everybody knows what side you're on.
Uh-huh.
You got to let the devil know.
Sure.
Because you know what? He's not a gentleman.
Right.
Yeah.
He wants to come in and he wants to squat on your land. And you know, you've probably heard this, and I looked into it here a while back, talking about someone coming in and squat on your property, and it's going to be there. And after, I think, 7 years or something like that, they can it becomes theirs. And it's not that simple. And so when I looked into it, it's like they can come in there and squat on your property, but you have to know they're there. And if you know they're there and you let them do that,
mm-hmm,
then after 7 years, it becomes theirs.
Yeah.
And the authorities recognize that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what a type. Mm-hmm. What a type of that. That here is Satan comes in through seven churches and squats on these people.
Yeah.
Squats on God's people and saying, you can't have this that God gave you. Yeah. And after a while, it becomes law.
Yeah.
What about us in our lives? How much time can God say, this is yours, this is yours, and we just don't go and seize it, and we don't take by faith and take lay hold on it, and after a while, God says, okay, your opportunity's over with.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now think about it.
Yeah.
The opportunity for Esau was over with.
Yeah.
Because he got to a place where he realized he'd messed up, and he sought to have repentance and couldn't find it.
That's right.
And if it can happen to him, it can happen to someone else.
Right.
And so we don't want squatters. It belongs to us. But here is the thing. We've got to make sure they know and put them off. Go to the authorities and don't let them sit there. Don't let Satan set on your healing and on your peace and on victory in your life and in your home. Don't let him hold that for too long. Right? Because if he does, you might have your opportunity slip right by.
Right.
I remember years ago when I was in fifth grade, and this may sound funny because I think a fifth grader really shouldn't even be interested in girls, but fifth graders are interested in girls. I was.
Yeah.
And there was a cute little redheaded girl that liked me. Her name was Carrie. And I liked her. And I don't know, you know, at that time, I mean, how do you become boyfriend, girlfriend? I don't know. Will you go with me? Will you be my girl? I don't know, but I really liked her. I thought about her all the time, and my wife's like, what's this? Because I've never told her about this. I was fifth grade, you know. I was
innocent.
I like it, but I didn't have the courage, and I didn't know how to go to her and say, will you be my girlfriend, or whatever, you know. And, you know, this went on for weeks. And then all of a sudden, one day, as somebody told me, she said, oh, yeah, she's starting to like somebody else. Oh, no. You know, well, now I got the courage, right? It's too late. It was too late. We don't want to be that way.
No.
God has opportunities for us.
Yes.
It's in his word. Right? And he wants us to respond to his word. He wants us to respond to these things. And when he gives us something, just to lay hold on those things.
Right.
Amen. And so, Jesus tells us in the story there, he says, hear what the unjust judge said. And you'd think, well, why would the Lord tell us to listen to some ungodly man? But there was a concept there that what he wanted us to understand. Because this widow woman would come before this king all the time. She would come and say, would you avenge my adversary? I don't know what she had going on. Something was wrong. Somebody had done her wrong. I don't know what it was. But there was something that belonged to her. And she felt like that if she went to the king, he was the authority that could make it happen.
Yeah.
So if she would come before him, he'd turn her away. She'd come before him and turn her away. You can imagine the king, you know, he's the guy that's full of authority, sets up there, nobody messes with me, right? You know, I'm the king. And so, you know, his guy that's bringing people to him, you know, who's next? You know, here's that widow woman. He's like, isn't that the one that came yesterday? Yes, sir. That's the one. And she's here again? Yes. I told her yesterday not to bother me no more. She's here again. Right? That sounds funny, but that's what was happening. Jesus told this and this parable, and so this woman would come, and finally this king got sick and tired of this woman coming to him. He said, I don't fear God. I don't regard man. But I am fed up with this woman coming to me every day, bugging me, want me to give her whatever it is she wants. And he finally did give her. And Jesus said, listen to that. Listen to what that unjust judge said. Think of this woman. She was a widow. She didn't have nothing. She had no strength. She had no political power. She was a nobody. She didn't have a husband. She was basically just fall through the cracks, as you would think, you know, in society, because people just kind of forget it and so forth. But so she didn't have much. But she did have this one thing that she could come every day. And you know that what the Lord is showing us here, that we can come before God every day.
Right.
Every day for our needs. Right. Jesus said, listen to that. Shall not God avenge us, though he bear long? Right?
Yeah.
Bear long with? Yes, he will do it speedily.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
He will do it. And Jesus told us to listen to this.
Right.
Listen to what this scenario is. It tells us, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Yeah. I'm going to read some quotes here. Hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Accepting God's provided way for the end time. Get to where I want to go, I'm going to read the first portion of the quote because it had something else in there I thought was really good. Mm-hmm. He said, Lord Jesus, you promised it, Lord. And he comes on the scene. And that's the way to bring him on the scene. You just cry. You're a baby. Just cry for it. And don't try to say, well, something or another, like it says some great road of prayer and practice it for an hour or two. He said, don't do that. That don't do any good. Like they say, did you say a prayer? Brother Ram says, no, it's a sin to say one. It's a sin to say a prayer. You got to understand what he's getting at. You pray when he said, don't say one, pray one.
Right.
Don't say a prayer for me. Don't do that for me. Mm-hmm. But you can pray for me, but don't say a prayer for me. No, sir. Just pray for me when you pray.
Right.
The Brother Man says, cry out for your needs. That's God's provided way.
Right.
Didn't Jesus explain when he said to the unjust judge and the woman who cried day and night? How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Spirit who cry out for it day and night? Who seek. Keep seeking. Knock. Keep knocking. Just keep on until he opens. Stay out with it. Cry until the promised word is vindicated. Then you've got it. You don't have to worry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the thing. You can reach, as I said last week, a threshold.
Yeah.
We all have a threshold in our life that we've got to get beyond to get what it is we need.
Right.
And I don't care if you're a newborn Christian or you've been doing it for 30, 40 years. Somewhere you have needs today. You've had victories yesterday. You have needs today. There's a threshold to get in God to where you can have what it is that you have need of.
Amen.
And once you reach that, you don't have to worry about it no more.
Right.
Because you've got it. Once he nods his head and sends that blessing, then it's done.
Amen.
And so you don't have to worry about it anymore. You see, the Bible promised it. Then stay right there and cry until you get it. If a baby sees a cookie and he wants it, and I got little grandbabies and I can testify to this. If a little baby sees a cookie and wants it, he just cries and cries and cries and kicks and screams and hollers and turns red in the face. And his mommy gives him the cookie and then it's all over. See, he got what he saw, what he wanted. If he wants a lick off of your ice cream cone, he'll just keep raising a fuss until he gets it. He said, well, that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to do. If you see a promise in the Bible, it's God's word, then just stay there and cry out until God gives it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or to you. And he would do it just to get you off of his hands, see, and that would be in the natural. But he wants you to do it. He likes for you to ask. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Cry out until the word of God is vindicated. Now, friends, let's just watch for a minute. Cry until the word is vindicated.
Mm.
The trouble of it is we get a cookie and we think that's all there is.
Mm.
There's a whole table full, Brother Ram says.
Right.
We get so that we can speak in tongues and we say, oh, brother, that's it. Oh, no, that ain't it. That's just some of it.
Right.
That's right. Oh, I get so happy that I could shout. That's some more of it, but there's a whole lot more of it. Just keep crying until.
Yeah.
That's God's provided way for his people. God's provided way always is to take his word and hold to it until it's vindicated to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brother Ram says, just because you believe it's there doesn't make it so that it happens. You can believe that these promises are there, but you've got to do more than that to make it happen.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he's trying to tell us. You got to do more than that. If you want it to manifest in your life, but stay with it until it does manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells a little bit later, you know, speaking to the about the woman, said she had many hindrances, but her faith had none. Her faith had none. So I ask you, do you have hindrances in yours? You have hindrances in your life, but you don't have, your faith should not have hindrances. Amen?
That's right.
So he says, will he avenge speedily? Yes, he will. He will, even though he bears long with us. So brother, sister, this should be our claim. This should be what we stake out, drive our stake in the ground and say, you know what? He told me, he promised me I can have this. I'm going to fight for it.
Yeah.
See, Satan has managed to get the fight out of people.
Yeah.
But you've got to fight.
Yes.
You've got to cry out. You've got to seek God. As this widow woman, and the whole thing is, if you will go to God every day, put it on his hands. Hmm. You know, it's something I've been praying about recently. I couldn't tell you how many times a day I put it on his hands.
Yeah.
Say, God, you're God.
Sure.
What are you going to do about this situation? We're your people. We represent you.
Yeah.
Right? Morning, day, night, anytime that you have, because pray always.
Yeah.
Right? Put it on his hands, because listen, you're his child.
Right.
He can't just ignore that. If you're talking to him, the scripture, we know, Brother Rem talks about it all the time. He always goes where he's invited.
Right.
Right? And so when you go to prayer, he comes.
Yes, that's right.
Your faith produces that. He comes. And you've got to know, and he's listening. And he's not just going to just let that pass away and just ignore it. He must answer. Right? Brother Rem said he never prayed a prayer but what God had answered or told me why he couldn't.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. What about us?
Right?
And so, he will speedily, and we need to take that and just drive that stake in the ground and say, I'm not going to move until you provide what you promised, Lord.
Amen.
So he goes on to say, there he says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Will he find faith on the earth? And so much of the time we think, you know, that when the rapture comes, when the coming of the Lord and he comes to get his people, will he find faith? But I want to ask you this. When he comes today to this service, will he find faith? Because he comes. Every time you invite him, he comes. And so when you come to church and when you come next week and every other service you come, he's coming.
Yeah.
And when he comes, does he find faith in your heart at his coming?
Right.
Amen. Every time you go to prayer, every time you have a prayer meeting, mm-hmm. every time you have a Bible study,
right.
any time that he's invited, when he comes, will he find faith?
That's good.
Amen? Amen. And so, because we know as believers, that's what he looks for. Yeah. You know, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11, it is without faith, it is impossible
right.
to please God.
Yeah,
can't even please him if we're not operating in faith.
That's right.
And so we know that. And so when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? But let me say it this way, not just not to try and change it, but to try and get you to understand what I'm looking at there. When he comes, will he find a people? Will he find faith? Will he find a people who's pressing to obtain the promise of their day?
Come on.
Will he find a people who have thrown everything else off to the side and say, I'm staying with this right here until it's manifested in my life?
Come on.
Because faith will do that. Faith will throw you into that desperation you'll be on his hands and you'll put it on his hands, and that wayward loved one, you'll keep them before him day and night until he has to do something.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right. Amen?
Right.
And so, when he comes, will he find faith? And I pray that he does. Right now, he's here speaking to you. Does he find faith in your heart to take that word and it be quickened? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right. Amen?
Because that's what we want to have.
Amen.
We need to stop settling for less. People need to remember, I say this, I've said it many times, and I don't know if it ever comes across the way that I want it, but we're in a battle.
Right.
You know, I think about people was in Vietnam. And I'm pretty sure that if they were going out through that jungle, mm-hmm. they weren't just, you know, just walking along, yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what they was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because there might be an enemy right around that tree right there.
Right,
right around that bush.
Yeah.
Come on.
Was ready to kill them. And we're in a battle, and we act like that Satan's not behind every tree.
Mm-hmm.
That Satan's not behind every song.
Preach, buddy.
Every app. Every media. Every magazine.
Come on.
Every comic book.
Yeah.
Every movie.
Right.
We act like he's not there.
Right.
And he is.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And because people ignore that, then there's atrocities that go on like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be shaken back to the words that this prophet told us these things for a reason.
Right.
Listen, I know, but I'm going to tell you what. You got to get to listen to what he said. Brother Daniel says it all the time. Try to hear what the minister is saying when he's standing up here. I'm going to tell you, try to understand what that prophet is telling us.
Right.
That's right.
Right? When he told us about Hollywood, there was a reason. We got to get to understand what that is, because Hollywood comes in all kinds of ways now that he might not have spoken of.
Yeah.
But it's here, and he was addressing the spirit of it.
Amen.
Because your phone is worse
sure.
than any TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Right? But once you catch the spirit of what he was talking about, then it's not going to affect you no matter what avenue it comes through.
Right?
Right?
Praise the Lord.
He talked to us about cards, playing cards.
Right.
Find out what he meant. Right? He talked about going to bowling alleys. Find out what he meant.
Yeah.
Figure it out, right? Not intellectually, but seek God, put it on his hands, say, God, I've got to understand what this is.
Right.
And God will take those things out of your life, because they're tricks of the devil.
Yeah.
He talked about comic books.
Yeah.
And we would say, oh, what's wrong with the comic book? There's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? He talks about all that stuff, and those things are there for a reason.
Right.
But people just going on, well, it's like it's no big deal. No, we're in a battle. And we need to be reminded of that.
That's
listen,
right.
Satan plays for keeps.
Right.
He plays for keeps. And if he can get you tricked into thinking, well, this is really okay, and it's even worse when you know Brother Ramsey talked about it, right? It's better for a person to not have heard the word than to have heard it, and then, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So especially, I watch young people that's raised in this message. And when they go out away from it, they pay a much harder price.
Yeah.
Because the devil says, oh, now's my chance to show that gospel don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So what he wants to do. And they pay a hard price because they knew better.
Right.
Right? And so that's when Satan lies to us and we begin to do so, well, I know that, you know, but this is, you know what? I've never seen the pillar of fire hang by your convictions or my convictions.
Right.
Mm.
We're gonna have our ideas and say, this is what I want, you know, and I think this is the way. No, the prophet, he's the vindicated voice.
Right.
Right?
That's
God showed that man to be the one that this world is being ushered into judgment by.
Yes, sir.
So when we, you know, begin to do things and we've let Satan lie to us and think, well, it's okay. And I'll ask you, and I say this quite often, how's that going for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because people's got all kinds of just messes and battles and problems and don't know which way to turn and they're about to go crazy and all that. And I ask you, why is it that way?
Right.
It's not the gospel that did it.
Right. Come on.
It's not the gospel that's done that. It's where we have let down the bar and Satan has lied and we forgot that there was a devil behind that next tree.
Come
we
on.
Stepped right out in front of him and boom, he got us.
Amen.
Because we're not diligent enough.
Right.
Amen.
I know people have said for, and the young people along for years here, like, oh, Brother Tony, man, he's too serious. He's way serious, you know. Right? And I don't mean to be whatever, but the brothers will tell you, everybody knows, you know, when it comes to going hiking and stuff, we come up on a cliff, about 8 to 10 feet from the edge is about as close as I can get. A lot of other people, they don't, you know, because I have that fear of heights or whatever, and you know, and so I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's my nature. That I don't need to bungee jump. I don't need some great excitement in this life. I don't need to do things that are dangerous and exhilarating. I don't need those things.
Come on.
I stay back away from those things. And if you like those, fine. You do what, because that's your nature. But understand the spiritual concept of what I'm trying to say here.
Right.
Rev talked about the guy said, I can ride up this, carry you up here on, you know, so many close to the edge. And the guy says, well, I can do even better than that. And the third guy says, well, I don't get over close to the edge. I hug the mountain. There's the guy you want.
Right.
There's the guy you want. See? So listen to the guy that's telling you there's devils behind everything.
Right.
That's there. And he's in the details. Yeah. And we've got to get back to knowing that this is what's happening. And especially if your life is in shambles, right, you have to be honest with yourself. Cross-examine yourself until you find out, oh, I really let the devil get in on me here. And here's why. And then there's a way back.
Right.
The way back is go right back where you left him.
Yeah.
I tell people that at work all the time. You'll find him where you left him.
Yeah.
I know that these people that have walked away from this message, they think, oh, you know, but they don't understand. If they ever get there, it'll be because they come right back to where they went off.
Amen.
Yeah.
They'll have to.
That's right.
And I pray the grace of God is there to allow them to do that.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. We got to quit letting the devil lie to us. It's like the frog in the pan of water.
Right.
Now think about that. And I don't know if that's really true, but just you understand the concept there. Mm-hmm. The frog that's in the pan of water, you throw him in some hot water, he'll jump out right away. But you can put him in there and slowly warm the water up, and he'll just sit right there until he cooks to death.
That's right.
That's right. And you know what Brother Ram said? He talked about in the scriptures, three unclean spirits like frogs, mm-hmm, came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Mm-hmm. Look out at all the influence in the world that come from the dragon, beast, and false prophet. Look at all everything that they've touched. Right. And it's all trying to influence you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that. Three unclean spirits like frogs. Brother Ram said frogs always looking back where he come from.
Right.
They're always looking back. Always looking back at Nicaea. Always looking back at where their organization was formed. What about now? Mm-hmm. Always looking back at what God did do. Well, what about today?
Yeah.
Frogs don't look today. Frogs is like, well, you know, I'm a believer. I had a move of God one time. What about the move of God that you should have today?
Right?
Right? And so frogs will walk their Christian walk. You understand the parable I'm giving you here. They'll walk their Christian walk just looking back at God, what something happened yesterday. Yeah, praise God. God moved for me. And sit right in a condition and boil to death. Because it's a slow transition.
Yeah.
It's a slow thing. Satan doesn't walk in and just say, hey, I'm the devil, or I'm here to ruin your day. He doesn't do that. Slowly.
Yeah.
Compromise. Slowly slips in until all of a sudden you wake up one day and the opportunity's gone.
Amen.
Passed by. Amen. Slowly taking our joy, slowly taking our victory, slowly taking our family, slowly taking our churches. Look outside the world.
Yeah.
Look what they're doing. God has moved out, and Ichabod is written over them, so they have to bring in arcades, coffee shops, rock and roll music,
yes, sir.
Just a concert, smoke and laser beams on the stage in a church. Are you kidding me? But that's what they've done, because they did long ago what I'm warning you today don't do.
Amen.
And you can see that's what happened. But we're not immune to it just because we're under a message banner.
Right.
Matter of fact, we're more responsible. Because mm-hmm. Brother Graham said, it is true. When that log was laying in a stream, that water flowing across it, and that log become doughty that much quicker.
Sure.
That a person can be in the things of God and really not be part of it.
Right.
And they'll just get old and, you know, doughty, soft, can't hold no weight, can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. Just that's the way it is.
Amen.
And so Satan just lying to people, and they just let down the bar, and he just keeps taking things. You know, some people, like I said, I'm a people watcher. Some people have never prayed through.
That's right.
Some people have come to church, they consider themselves a part, and they've never really, like that threshold I said, they've never come to the place where they really got past that threshold, where they got down and they got business with God, and they prayed and they raised up knowing that something was different.
Amen.
Knowing that a weight was off their shoulders.
That's right.
Like I said the other day, and I think, I don't know if it was last week or whatever, but Brother Ben talking about that woman in the same asylum, and she said, pray.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you know, say a little prayer, okay, I'm done. He said, no, you're not done. Keep praying.
Yeah.
She prayed a little bit more. This is the way we do. Oh, Lord, you know, bless my day. Okay, I'm done. Am I saying the truth?
Come on, preach.
See, no. Go back.
Yeah.
Because there's something there he paid for.
Right.
That
Amen.
Belongs to you.
Yeah.
And there's a threshold in God where we can be on his hands to the place he says, give them what's theirs. See, praying, and he said, no, keep praying. Then Brother Branham said, after a while, her voice changed.
Right. Yeah.
Her voice began to sing.
Yeah.
Now something's happened. Why? She prayed through. She broke past that threshold.
Right.
She got into a place, and he said, she looked up at him with those big eyes, and said, something's happened. He said, yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Something, what? Why? She got to that place where she could walk away and not worry about it no more. I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And some people have never reached that in their life.
That's true.
That's right. If you haven't reached that in your life, you're not birthed yet.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because when you are born into something, you're alive.
Right. Yeah.
You can't unbirth something.
Right.
Right? I say you can't. You can say, well, say if you have a dog, it's birthed. You know, well, you could go kill it. Yeah. But you can't. That dog's been born.
Amen.
And since we're talking about eternal life, you can't kill eternal life.
Right.
So once you get that promise of God, seek night and day and cry out to God for the Spirit, as he said a while ago, he'll give that to you. And once you get it, you can walk away knowing they're sealed.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of people haven't even had that experience. They're just barely getting by because they have not come into the full dynamics. They're just working along with what little mechanics we have and a little bit of enthusiasm or whatever.
Wow.
But brother, sister, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, he will set that on fire.
Yeah.
He will take that gasoline in there and he will set it afire, and you'll become a living, as Brother Bram talked about, a Cadillac for God going down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can be ever so plush and ever so wonderful and have everything in place, but without the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
they go nowhere. So some people have done that. They just haven't reached that place. Haven't met that place in the Lord. Brother Brown tells us in a sermon called Perseverance. You know, we need just roll up our sleeves and fight the devil.
Yeah.
Brother M tells us, he says, and we ought to be ashamed to admit it, but we need a faith that'll hold God's words and say it's true and meet the devil and say it's thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
I was reading the other day, and we're familiar with this story, so I was reading the other day where a man said the devil got before him and said he was a little bitty old devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, boo. And said, I jumped back. And said, he said, boo. And I jumped back. And every time he'd holler boo and I'd jump back, he'd get bigger and I'd get littler.
Right.
He said, he kept saying boo and said, I'd get smaller each time I jumped back and he'd get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I know I had to fight with him after a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have to. So I said, I looked around, I thought, well, And I found the Word of God. And I said, I hold it in my hand, the Word of God. And the devil said, boo. And I said, boo back to him. And said, when I said boo back, every time I said boo, he got smaller and I got bigger. Now, you've got to fight him sooner or later.
Right.
Right? And you know, there's people that don't believe there's a devil. And Brother Graham said, I run into him all the time, every day. I head up with him every day. Yeah. And other believers does. Says, yes, you've got to fight him sooner or later, so you might as well start right now.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing that he's afraid of, is that blood and that word. And faith holds it. It's strong. It marches on. Amen?
Yeah.
You know you're going to have to fight him. You know that you've already seen that every time that he throws something out there and you fell for it, he got stronger and you got weaker.
Uh-huh.
You've already seen that.
Yeah.
He's been saying boo to you by presenting his idea and his tricks and his lies, trying to scare you and all that. He's been doing all that. And people lose ground, and you know that you're going to have to fight him. And as you're delaying, he's just getting bigger, and you're getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith's getting less, and he's getting greater. You understand?
Right.
My brother said, you know you're going to have to fight him. I'd rather fight him while he's small.
Yeah,
instead of letting him get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then have to fight him.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So, let's start saying boo back.
Yes. Yeah.
What did we say? Boo. We're resisting him.
Yeah.
That's we're right. Saying, this is my property. God gave this to me.
Amen.
I'm holding on to it. This is mine. I'm not letting you have it.
Right.
Amen? Amen. And just simply, just like the woman, like I said, the widow woman, she had no strength. She couldn't go out there and take hold of the adversary and throw him down and say, you're going to give me back whatever mine. God knows that you can't just physically go do that. But you can go to him who is the authority, and you can be on him until he makes it happen.
Right.
Amen.
Right? And that's the thing. So, start saying, move back.
Sure.
Start saying, this is mine.
Yeah.
You're not taking it from me.
Right.
Get up in the morning, set your feet on the ground, and say it. Boo, devil.
Yes, sir.
As I said the other day, we know that in ourself, we can't do these things in ourself. God knows that. That's why he provided a way that you can do it. Right? And I illustrated last week was, you know, when you look at your own, everything about yourself, and it's filthy rags. You have nothing to offer. It's just filthy rags.
Yeah.
And you know, to go up before the king, I can't go before him like that. You know, to go out and fight an enemy, I can't go like that. But what he's saying is take your robes off and put his on.
Amen.
So every morning when you get up and you go to step out, put your feet on the... Don't reach over. You know, every one of us have to put on garment every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm talking about here, you got to do it every day.
Sure.
Don't reach over and put on your works, your righteousness, because it won't work. But by faith, you say, God, I can't do it, but I'm putting yours on.
Yeah.
I'm putting your robe on.
Yeah.
And now I can go before the king.
Yeah.
I can go out here. I can fit to meet up with Goliath.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not me. It's his robes that I'm standing here.
Amen.
He said that I could pray for the sick. He said we could raise the dead, cast out devils. He said we could do all these things. And because I have wrapped myself in his robes, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
That's my commission, and it's him doing it.
Amen.
But as long as they go, well, but you know, I made a mistake yesterday. Well, put it under the blood, nail it to the cross, and then put the robe on.
Amen.
His robes.
Yes.
And go fight the devil.
Yes.
Go out and say, boo, devil.
Amen.
Put that robe of his righteousness on and say, boo, devil. Take another step, boo, devil. Boo, devil. Because I am going in the anointing and the promise of the king.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me see where I am on my notes. See these points I don't want to miss. Amen. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read there. It says, no chastening for the time seems to be joyous. Nobody ever liked getting a whipping.
Right.
But as grown-ups, as I said the other day, we can look back now and say, I needed every one of them. Should have gotten more.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for parents, for me, grandparents, that did.
Yeah.
They corrected me and said, no, you're not doing that. Because I've told you, I was listening to this brother's testimony yesterday, and I sitting there thinking, man, it sounds like what I'd be saying. Is that I felt like if God hadn't got hold of me when he did, I'd be in the grave somewhere.
Right.
You know, but thank God he did.
Amen.
And I didn't come through denominations, but I was out in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was me. I'm glad he didn't bring me through those things.
Yes,
I never believed those things. Hmm. You know? But we just have to let him be the one. And so no chastening seems to be, but the scripture said that it will work peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. You've got to allow yourself to be exercised by this by correction of his word.
Right.
Judging yourself, letting the pulpit, you know. And so, because it will to those who are exercised thereby.
Mm-hmm.
So when God speaks, move upon it. Act upon it. Don't just let it go by. Move upon what he's saying. This is seize your moment. When you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, rise up and go after, because that's your moment. That's your time. Go after those things that God has given you. That's why he's shaking you. That's why he's stirring you. That's why he deals with your heart. When he's dealing with your heart on this thing, you know what, brother told me that's right. Then do something about it now.
Amen.
Right now. Lay hold on it. Grab it. Boo, devils. Drive your stake in. This is the last day you're taking joy out of my life.
Amen.
Right? That's what because you've got to do that.
Right.
And so when he speaks, move upon it. I asked the other day, and I'll ask again, how many different ways does God speak to you? He can speak to you out of the Bible, speak to you out of prayer, out of your own conscience, which God is greater than your conscience, out of the pulpit, when I preach, Brother Daniel preaches, Brother Branham. And even out of your friends and family who love you, God speaks through them.
Right.
And whenever the word and the ministry and friends and family, they you know, I had a class I went years ago in management when I took my job, and they sent me to it, and we did this little experiments or whatever. But he was explaining, this guy was explaining that, you know, there are things that you know about yourself that nobody knows but you. And then there's things about you that you know and other people know.
Right.
And he said, then there are things about you that you don't know that others do.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And God speaks through his word, and he speaks through family, and he speaks through friends.
Yeah.
If they're believers,
sure.
Okay? We got to believe that we're a family of God, and every member supplies needs of another. How does that work?
Come on.
Because one member will supply word to the other member.
Right.
And so how easy we so easily just discount preacher, nah, family, nah, word, nah, prophet, nah, we just, no, nah, I got my own idea. So easily just bypass. And God has put his word all around us,
sure,
to guide us.
Yeah.
See? Back to what I was saying, cross-examine yourself. Look at what God has done in your life. Look what he's placed around you. And realize that this path that you're on right here is where God wants you to pick up right here. He doesn't want you to try and go create another pathway. This is your pathway. Start walking it with him.
Amen.
And he'll take this pathway, and it'll lead you where he wants you to go.
Right.
But you can't lead yourself, because it winds up in defeat.
That's right.
So when he speaks, move with it. I know a friend, we've got to get tough. I've said this before, but I know a friend years ago, every time he'd read the Bible, he'd get sleepy. How many knows about that?
Mm-hmm.
I tell some guys at work, and I'm like, man, I woke up at 2 o'clock. I couldn't go back to sleep. I'm like, read your Bible. Go read your Bible and pray. You go back to sleep right away. Right?
Yes, sir.
But this fella, he was so determined. He got so mad at the devil because every time he would read his Bible, he would start getting sleepy. And so he went in, his name was Colmore Rivers, he went in and he climbed up on his bathtub and stood with one leg on one side of the bathtub and the other on the other ledge and would stand there and read his Bible.
Come on.
because he knew if he fell asleep, what would happen? And that may sound funny, but brother, sister, we've got to get past the threshold.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, sir.
Whatever is the hindrance, we've got to break through it. And if we don't, we're going to be left sitting.
Right.
Yes,
right? We might be bright, that's fine, but there's higher heights for us to go. And you know, we go up and then we plateau, and you're like, oh, praise God, I'm not down there where I used to be, but you've plateaued, you're not getting any higher.
Yeah.
Right.
We've got to keep climbing.
Yeah.
And the only way to keep, the only last chance I know when we went hiking, you know, is it's kind of tough going up those hills.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the way it is. You've got to keep climbing. Keep fighting, you know, keep moving.
Yeah.
And so we need to be like Brother Como and stand on the wherever if we have to get done. And so we see there in Hebrews a correction doesn't feel, but you know, it will, the word of God says it will yield peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Right.
You will have victory in your life if you'll let that word exercise you.
Amen.
See, no matter how you slice it, they used to have a commercial. I like Snickers candy bars. They used to have a commercial. No matter how you slice it, it's like peanuts. Remember that? Anybody remembers that commercial years ago? Nobody but me. So, I mean, many years ago. But no matter how you slice it, it all comes back to one thing. God has given the Holy Ghost for us to receive, which will give us overcoming power. And we've got to get to that place.
Amen.
Amen. And if we do, it will produce victory. Not just a one-time thing, but daily. Mm-hmm. So, we don't want to, as we read there in the scriptures, we don't want to fail of the grace of God.
Right.
You know, grace is unmerited favor. Mm-hmm. And God looks down and says, you know, if something doesn't happen, they're lost. Mm-hmm. So, he just provided a way for us by grace. And so now we can be saved because we couldn't do it. So he provides this way, but we've got to take that way.
Amen.
You know, if you're off in a pit, you've got to when he lets down the rope, you got to come up by the rope. You can't go some other way.
Right.
And so, but the scripture said there that we fail of the grace of God. That somehow Satan will dupe us and get us into a place where we know that grace is there. Like Brother Brent said, you got to know more than just know that the promise is there. That doesn't make it happen.
Right.
Don't get into a place where you get out the grace of God, but yet it's not active in your life somehow.
Right.
See? Don't let that happen. And he's speaking this in a chapter of correction. That when God corrects, don't let your hands hang down. Lift up those hands and make straight paths. Look sharp. God is calling you. He's provided grace. Step in it and move. Be soldiers.
Yes.
Amen.
Take what God has given and march with it. Defeat the devil left and right because you can do it.
Right.
Amen. But you've got to pick up that sword of his word and swing it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't fail of the grace of God. And in our day, double grace.
Mm-hmm.
Not just grace to save us, but grace to provide a message for us that will actually give us a body change.
Right.
Brother, sister, like I said the other day, here we are. Here we are right in rapture time. And the greatest message that ever came to the earth has been right before us and vindicated. And he's been pulled up out of history and brought right before us to know that he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just slacking off.
Yeah.
Where God has come down with double grace. Don't fail of it.
Amen.
As I've said so many times, to know, to say, me? You want me to be your wife? Oh, I don't know. You've got to accept his offer.
Right.
You've got to accept the grace that he's given you.
Amen.
You've got to accept the fact that he's wooing you and dealing with your heart and calling you by name, calling you like that. So accept that grace. In other words, step in gracefully. Step into that robe of his righteousness and walk it. Not arrogant.
Right.
Gracefully. Knowing that you're there because of the grace of God. And in this day, double grace. Not just to be a Christian, but to be this end time bride.
Amen.
With the final voice.
Yes.
For the final age.
Yes.
to walk like that.
Yes.
And don't fail of it. It's here for us. And it is a timely thing.
Amen.
There is a time factor. It won't go on forever. I know none of his can be lost, but you know, we're all pressing to make sure that that's who we are, right?
Right.
By faith, we're pressing, we're fighting.
Amen.
The scripture said, don't be like Esau. You know what Esau did? Esau sold out his birthright for something as temporal as a bowl of soup,
sure,
pottage.
Yeah.
He was an offspring of Abraham. He could have had the whole Middle East over there. Everything God had given to Abraham. He could have had the whole thing, all in all of his offspring. Could have been him. But he sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Not Abraham. He was a descendant of Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, you understand? In that lineage, he could have had all those things that belonged to him. And you know, I've said before, you know, God gave him that land. He said, this land is for this family and for that family. This is your inheritance. And he expects you to go there and live in that and to prosper there and pass it on to your children and so forth. And he expects you to have great respect for that Holy Ghost he's given you, that land.
Right.
He expects you to believe it and live in it and exercise it. And that's what Esau had. Esau had that. And he's like, oh, nothing. I'd rather have just a temporary pleasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Look what God has promised us for this day. Right. Look what we can have. But people are selling it out for a little 5 minute here or 10 minute there or 5 hours here, 5 hours there, and all the things that the world has to offer. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we don't want to be like Esau and sell it out for something temporal. We want to get on fire for God, and you control that. Right? Mm-hmm. You control that. You've got to have a determination. Because look at what we've come to. As he said there in Hebrews, we've not come to a mountain that burns with fire and to a voice of trumpet that even Moses was scared as the prophet of the day. So we haven't come to that. Right? But we come to Mount Zion, to New Jerusalem, to the, you know, to the city of God, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And this is what we've come to. Right? This is what Paul was saying. We so people who under that old covenant, with all those as less as it was, if they resisted that voice, they died without mercy. So how much sore punishment it would be that here we are, that we've come to something even much greater. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of God, and to Jesus, the mediator. Right? Of a better covenant, and to the blood of, and so we read it there. Okay? We've come to that. And Paul is saying, what's going to happen to those who don't listen to this?
Yeah.
If you look at what happened to those that something lesser that they resisted.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you for us, what Paul was saying, what we've come to. Brother, sister, not just what Paul was talking about, but the fullness of it in our day of what Paul was talking about. Here we are. With a vindicated message that has come to show us this is it. This is the hour. This is our time to resist this. What's going to happen? Right?
Right.
The scriptures tell us that a lot of people run the race. But it's only those who strive lawfully, those who really run to win that prize. I believe predestination. You know I preach it all the time. We are predestinated people. There's a part of you that can't fail. Right? That's part of God. But brother, sister, what's on the inside of you has got to come out on the outside and manifest.
Amen.
And until that happens, that on the inside is still pretty much kind of dormant.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right? It's got to come out and manifest in our daily walks.
Amen.
With victory. And doing the things that God said we were to be able to do in this hour as the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, the scripture said, not only is he shaking the earth like he did in the Old Testament with the mountains and all that, but now he's going to shake both heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth is going to be shaken. So that the only thing left to remain is that which cannot be shaken. And I ask you, in this world, of everything that you're involved in, whether it's secular world, work, home, church, whatever, I ask you, what of that will remain? Because we're under a message now, in the fullness of it, not just in Paul's day, but the fullness of it now, where God is shaking. And he's not just shaking this earth, but he's shaking heavenly places. Because remember, Satan was in heaven, and Satan has to be cast down. I always think of a tree, and they just go up and shake that tree, and all that stuff come down, apples or whatever. God is even going to shake heaven so much that even Satan has to be cast out. And all that pertains to him comes down. And when he comes down, the bride's going up. Right? That's what the prophet told us. Yeah. Right? And so, but the only thing that's going to be left after God shakes heaven and earth, there's only one thing left that's going to remain, and that's what cannot be shaken. And I ask you, what is that? It's not Facebook. It's not your job. It's not even your flesh. And whatever that is, that's where you need to put your attention. Because there's only one thing that will not be shaken, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the Word, which is in you. But you've got to give it preeminence and let it live in all aspects of your life.
Amen.
Amen. And so the 28th verse is, let us have grace to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let God come down and light you and burn your life to give off light to those around you like a candle that he doesn't want hid under a bushel. He wants it to be able to absolutely shine the grace of God. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Acceptable to who? To God. Mm-hmm. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. After God has paid the price and give us his blood to save us, to give us victories in this life and in eternal life to come, it's a reasonable thing for him to ask that we would present ourselves as living sacrifices.
Right.
It's reasonable. Actually, you know, if we got what we deserved, mm-hmm. you understand. But it's reasonable that he would ask us, having provided all the things, and so it'd be reasonable for us to do this, to provide those things.
Yeah.
We'll finish by telling you, Brother Bram said, I said double grace a while ago, and where he said, will the Son of Man, when he cometh, do he find grace, find faith? And here's what Brother Bram said in Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said, now that's your question. That's the question. He said, here's where I wanted to get to in Revelations 10. When we get to it in a few minutes on another scripture verse, he said, in the last days, or in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God ought to be finished. We all know that. But Brother Bram said, here's what the question is. If you follow in that line in this hour, will it be finished? The mystery of God should be finished. It ought to be finished. And Brother Ren says, the question is, will it be finished?
Come on.
Think about it. What is the mystery of God? The mystery that God, then he came into Christ, but then there was a mystery in Christ of a bride. And until all that stuff lives out and manifests out, that mystery is not finished.
Right.
Right?
Come on.
But when that mystery, when all that's lived out, so this end time bride has to come to full position, full mature wife of Christ, to become one with him to where she is him.
Amen.
And then when she, then this mystery, and Brother Bram is saying, will it be finished? Will I find faith when I come to theirs? Will I find a people at my coming who are pressing themselves in and becoming what I promise by pressing? Will I find faith? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Will I find faith? He said, will it be finished? Will I find faith? Will Malachi 4 be fulfilled at this time to restore the faith of the children back to the faith of our fathers, the original, the Word.
Amen.
Will that happen? Yes.
Amen.
Yes, there will be a people whose lives are on fire with this end time message, fully becoming Him.
Amen.
Amen. But not by just sitting around.
Come on.
Yeah, we got to press on. You got to say, this is mine.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm going to have it. For the church here, you've heard this before, but just for our visitors' sake, I'll just tell it real quick and then we'll close. Years ago, I was going to preach over in Kyoto. The pastor had gotten me a place, a hotel room for the night. We was having something on Saturday night, and then I was going to preach the next morning. And so he got me a room there. And it's a brand new hotel they had just built, just as you're going in Stigler on the left there. And so he had went there a day or two ahead of time, and he didn't operate with credit cards, so he just paid, somehow or another, he just paid cash or whatever, the hotel room, and guaranteed arrival, just paid it, right? It wasn't one of those things. And so Saturday night, things get done, and I go over there, me and my wife and the kids, we go over there, and we walk in, and it's about, I don't know, 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night, something like that. And I walk in there and say, yeah, I'm here to get my room. Well, they were having all kinds of something going on over there, and every place was full. And they had taken my room that was supposed to be for me and my family, and they gave it to somebody else. The man they gave it to was a young man who just got married, and him and his wife. It was their honeymoon. And they gave that, and I'm like, they're like, well, your room, and so they wind up calling the manager. And so the manager had to come in from home, 11 o'clock in the night, get him out of bed, whatever, And the manager come in and said, what's the matter? This was already paid for. He didn't show up. He said he didn't have to show up by a certain time. It was paid for. Mm-hmm. Absolutely paid for.
Yeah.
You did wrong for giving that room to somebody else. And I'm like, it was too far. We could drive back home, So we're like, well, no. We can drive back. No. Just wait right here. So the manager gets on the phone and calls that room where this guy's and gets him on the phone and says, sir, I'm sorry. We made a big mistake. We shouldn't have given this room to you. It belongs to somebody else. And, you're going to have to leave. And of course, he's arguing over the phone. And finally, here's the authority, okay? Here's the authority saying, hey, this was already paid for.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to leave. And he was arguing. And she finally said, sir, you don't understand. She said this several times. She said, this man will have that room tonight. And I say that because the Lord paid a price for us.
Right?
We've got to go to the authority
and
say, I'm here for my room.
Amen.
I am here to take possession of what's already been paid for me. And the authority says, sit right here and I'll take care of it.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. But you've got to go up there and say, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
This is mine and I'm fighting for it. Amen. And God will give it to you.
Amen.
He didn't say how long. You might be like Abraham. Might wait 25 years, but you just keep pressing.
Yeah.
Keep on. Keep on.
Yeah.
And listen, you've got to have expectation. You can't just come, God meets His word. We're coming and we're looking for Him to fulfill everything He promised. We're looking for Him to heal and to save and set free and break chains.
Amen.
And set families in order. Why are we expecting that? Because He said He would.
Yeah.
It's in there. That's why.
Right.
Why would we come to church not expecting Him
right.
to do exactly what He said?
Right.
Come on. Yeah. Come. Believe Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Keep believing. confession. You know, the scripture said he's the high priest of your profession. To profess is to agree with the word of God. You cannot go before God and say, oh, Lord, I'm so defeated today. He knows that. But you know what happens? You know what? You want to get the presence of God because he dwells in his word. If you want, just start praying back to him his promises. Try it.
Come on.
Start telling him, Lord, you're so great. There's nobody like you. Amen. You're the one that breaks chains. You're the ones that set free.
Come on.
Right? Start ministering back to him. You know, the husband buys a home and he provides everything for the wife and the clothes and the food. And what does he do when he comes home? She takes all the resources he's provided for her and she begins to minister back to him his resource, what he provided.
That's right.
Begin to give back to him. Give back to him all those things. Minister to him what he is. Lord, you're so great. Nobody can defeat you. And I'm here before you today, and I'm here to represent you, Lord, on this earth. And I want to represent you, and here's this case, and here's what, and just present it to him, and do it over and over and over, and just worship him. And I tell you, brother, sister, he's got to let you have what's in that promise book for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Let's just pray, and if we have something you want to play as we do. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us this day, being able to come to the house of God. And Lord, that you have provided a gospel that does work. Lord, that it sets free. And all these things, Lord, that you have promised, that we see there in your word. Lord, we're so thankful for them. And we're just asking, God, today that you allow us to pick up these things and walk with them. Walk with the truth that you've given us, Lord. Because we believe that this hour is rapidly closing out. We look out in the world and we see all these things that's happening and realize that you're calling your bride to attention. Lord, we have many years of mechanics, but Lord, we're looking for the dynamics that your prophet said would have, that would come upon this word. We're just believing that we can be that one, Lord, that has these promises. I pray to God that these words will be so sunken down in the hearts of your children that they can get them not. Put them into actions. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
I don't know if we got it. What can we have in the song book? We can probably just do at least the chorus.
She's looking for
His name is
say it now that he has a word in front of him. So, amen. That song has been on my heart, so
I've listened to it all week.